How many here enjoy getting into God's Word? All right. Tonight's message is God created you on purpose for a purpose. God created you on purpose for a purpose. God created you intentionally. You were meant to be born. God meant for you to be on this earth. Don't let anybody tell you any differently. You know, if somebody told you growing up that you were a mistake or an accident, that was a lie from the devil, because the devil is a liar and the father of lies. Now, imagine this scenario tonight. Imagine this scenario. There's a sailboat docked in a marina in the state of Maine in the Northeast, right? It's a beautiful sunny morning. The skies are blue. It's peaceful on the waters. Come the afternoon and the sky turns gray. And the winds begin to blow, and they blow harder and harder. The boat breaks from its mooring and drifts into the bay. And then it drifts aimlessly into the stormy ocean, unmanned and drifting aimlessly. It's tossed by the wind and the currents in the middle of the ocean. And maybe tonight you feel like that sailboat, drifting aimlessly through life. Maybe you've been battered by the storms of life, like that boat. Maybe as a child, like I said a few moments ago, maybe you were told that you were a mistake or an accident going somewhere to happen. Maybe you were abused by a spouse who said that you would not amount to anything, and so your self-esteem was chipped away at. But there's good news. There's good news for you tonight. When you accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, your ship became manned by God. God is the captain of your ship. He is the captain of your life, and He has a direction for your life. He has a purpose specifically tailored for you, which fits into the greater purpose of expanding His kingdom. Let me say it again. God has got a purpose specifically tailored for you, which fits into the larger purpose of the expansion of His kingdom. Do you believe that here tonight? You know, and as you go through Scripture, there's individuals that wrote about how God had a purpose for their lives. We're going to go through a few here tonight. So the first one is in Psalm 139, verse 16. Let's back up to verse 15. David writes in Psalm 139, 15, he says this: "My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth." And the depths of the earth could be alluding to like his mother's womb. "Your eyes saw my unformed body." You saw me, God, in my embryonic state before I had any real form. "All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." That's the key tonight. "All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." What was David saying in plain English? You know, David was saying that God had a plan for the days of his life before the days of his life even began on this earth. God had a purpose for the days of the life of David before the days of his life even began on this earth. Before he stepped foot on this earth, while he was still in his mother's womb, God had a purpose for David. And he fulfilled that purpose. He became the king of Israel. He was a man after God's own heart. Now, Jeremiah echoes a similar thought. Jeremiah 1, verses 4 through 6. "The word of the Lord came to me saying," now Jeremiah was young when God called him, "before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I chose you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." God had a purpose for the days of Jeremiah before the days of his life even began on this earth. He had a plan for his life before he even stepped foot on this earth. God chose him. He chose him. The purpose he had for Jeremiah was to be a prophet to the nations, principally to Judah, to preach repentance, to preach to them to turn from their idolatrous ways and to turn back to God. And Jeremiah fulfilled the purpose that God had for his life. Now, go to the New Testament. There's a similar thought echoed again in the life of Saul, later known as Paul. Anybody here know about Saul? Right. He was a persecutor of the followers of Jesus Christ, right? And he got letters from the high priest to the synagogues in Damascus so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. So as he's on his way to Damascus, there's a great light. He falls to the ground and he hears the audible voice of Jesus. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Who are you, Master? I am Jesus whom you are persecuting, he replied. And then he said, Jesus said, now get up and go into the city and you will be told what you must do. And Paul did it. He preached zealously, starting at this point and through the end of Acts. You can read about it in the epistles. He wrote a good portion of the New Testament. And Saul preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. God had a plan and a purpose for the days of Saul's life, later known as Paul the Apostle. You know, the greatest persecutor of Jesus Christ became his greatest promoter, Paul the Apostle. And he writes about this in Galatians 1:15, it's very clear. Galatians 1:15. But when God set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him amongst the Gentiles, my immediate response was not to consult any human being. God set Paul apart. He separated him for the task of bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Gentile people mainly. And he preached it with all of his heart. He established churches in Asia Minor. He had a plan and a purpose for the days of Paul's life before the days of Paul's life even began on this earth. And God is no respecter of persons. Remember, when Peter was preaching to the house of Cornelius, in Acts chapter 10, verse 34, he says that God is no respecter of persons. God loves the Jews and the Gentiles equally. God loves all cultures equally. He is no respecter of persons. But neither is God a respecter of persons regarding purpose. Let me say it again. Neither is God a respecter of persons regarding their specific purpose. You know, God had a purpose specifically tailored for you before you set foot on this earth. Let me say it again. God had a purpose and a plan for the days of your life before the days of your life even began on this earth. You're not on this earth by mistake. You're not here by accident. God has got something for you to do, a purpose for you which fits within the greater purpose of the expansion of his kingdom. Let me give you a couple of four instances. Let's say you've got two ladies, just hypotheticals. You've got Darlene and Lorraine. They've both accepted Jesus Christ. Darlene teaches second grade Sunday school. She's fulfilling her purpose. But Lorraine twiddles her thumbs and gets involved with the latest gossip. She watches soap operas. She has not yet discovered her purpose. You know, it's not like God created Darlene with purpose to teach second graders in Sunday school and none for Lorraine. He created a special purpose for Lorraine as he had for Darlene. He's got a purpose for both. The thing is, Lorraine has not yet discovered it. And maybe tonight you feel like Lorraine. Maybe you feel like you're just twiddling your thumbs, Why am I here? Why was I brought into this world? Another for instance, let's say you got Scott and Tom. They both accepted Christ, following Christ. You know, but Scott shares his faith consistently with those around him. He loves Jesus. But Tom, on the other hand, he twiddles his thumbs. He smokes cigarettes all day, and he drinks wine at night. You know, it's not like God created Scott for a purpose and none for Tom. He has a purpose for Tom, a special purpose, as much as he does for Scott. Tom has just not discovered it. And maybe tonight you feel like Tom. Maybe you're twiddling your thumbs, you're just sitting around, you're smoking cigarettes, you drink a little bit of alcohol, but let me tell you tonight, friends, God has got a special purpose and plan for the days of your life. Say it with me tonight. God has got a special plan and purpose for the days of my life. I'm not here by accident. I am here with a divine destiny from God in Jesus' name. Amen. And perhaps you have not yet discovered, as I said a few moments ago, the specific purpose God has for you. Maybe you're asking, maybe coming here tonight, maybe you've been asking the question, why? Why was I born? Why was I created? Why am I on this earth? Has that question, why, ever crossed your mind? God, was I created to take up space? And God's answer is no. God, was I created just to exist? And again, God's response to you is no. God, was I created just to be a spare part in this world? And God's resounding response to you is no. See, God's answer to you is, I created you with a purpose tailored just for you. God is saying, I created you with a specific purpose tailored just for you. A purpose that fits within the greater purpose of the expansion of my kingdom. You weren't made to twiddle your thumbs all day and sit around all day. You were made by God to do something special with your life for the advancement of the kingdom of God. Don't let anything or anyone tell you any differently. Do you agree with that tonight? So today is the day that begins God's answer to your why. Why, God? Why am I here? Why was I created? Why was I put on this earth? Today is the day that you begin discovering why God placed you in this world. What does Paul write to the Ephesians? Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. He says this. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. When you accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, you were created in Christ Jesus. When you put your faith and your trust in Jesus, you became a brand new creation. Therefore, if anybody is in Christ, he is a brand new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. When you accepted Jesus, you were created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us, for you and me, to do. Good works. God has got a good work. He has got a purpose for you, which he prepared in advance for you and I to do. I want you to think about that tonight. If you remember nothing else tonight, remember the message, the title of the message, God created you on purpose for a purpose. Say it with me tonight. God created me on purpose for a purpose. In Jesus' name. So, how do you discover God's purpose for your life in some practical ways? How do you go about discovering the why that you've been placed on this earth. Why, God, am I here? What do you have for me to do? How do you go about discovering it? He knew what he had for you from the womb of your mother. You just have not yet discovered it, but tonight starts. Tonight is the night that starts the process of discovery of the plan and the purpose that God has for the days of your life. God knew you before you were born, like he did David, like he did Jeremiah, like he did Paul the apostle. So, practical things that you can do. First, you can pray like Jesus prayed. Mark 1:35. What did Jesus do early in the morning hours? What did he do? Mark 1:35. Very well-known verse. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. What is prayer? Prayer is talking with God like you talk with a friend. Simple as that. Talk with God. Pour out your heart to God. Ask him why. God, why? I need to know why. Why was I created? When you get up tomorrow morning and you look at yourself in the mirror to groom yourself, just talk to God and say, God, I want to know why I was created. And God, in his own unique and special way, will reveal it to you through his word, in your spirit, through a minister perhaps that you respect. God will start revealing it to you. Just talk with God. I guarantee that if you talk with God, like Jesus did early in the morning, Father God will respond. He will answer your question, why? Why am I here? Why was I created? Remember, he had a purpose for you before you set foot on this earth. You have to go about discovering it by faith in God and some other practical questions. As I was preparing, I found this online platform called the Meaning Movement. The Meaning Movement, and it helps people find their purpose, and it's really, really a good resource. The Meaning Movement. And the article is Finding Your Purpose, A Guide to Living a More Meaningful Life. And so here's some of the questions, all right? Ask yourself these questions. This is towards the end of one of the articles, Finding Your Purpose. Finding your purpose starts with asking better questions, not what should I do with my life, but rather, now listen to this. These are good questions. What activities make me lose track of time? What activities make you lose track of time? What is something that when you do it, an hour goes by, but it only felt like 5 minutes? That's a good indicator that that might be correlated to God's purpose for your life. Another question. When do I feel most alive and energized? When do you feel most alive and energized? That could be a big cue to the purpose God created you for within his body, within the kingdom, for the advancement of the kingdom. Another question. What problems do I love solving? Have you ever thought about it? What problems do you love to solve? That could be another big hint to the purpose God created you for within his kingdom. Another good question. What breaks my heart about the world? What breaks your heart about the world? I kind of want you to repeat those questions with me tonight. Repeat this one. Say, what activities make me lose track of time? All right. Number two. When do I feel most alive and energized? Number three, what problems do I love solving? Number four, what breaks my heart about the world? And he says here, the answers might surprise you. They often point to purpose that's been there all along, waiting to be recognized. Waiting to be recognized. So some applications to the questions we just asked ourselves. For instance, here's a for instance. Do you love children like Jesus loved children? He had all the children come to him. He accepted them all. Do you love being around children? It's maybe when you're around children and you're talking with them, maybe time flies really fast. And perhaps Maybe God has for you to do something in your church's children ministry. You've got to talk to God about it, you know. Maybe you've got the gift of gab. You like to talk. You just like to talk and talk. And you can talk for 45 minutes, and maybe it feels like to you that maybe just 5 minutes have passed. I think some in this room have the gift of gab, like to communicate, right? Maybe God is calling you to share your testimony with groups of people, how he delivered you from the pit of darkness and brought you into the palace of his love and forgiveness. Maybe with groups of 2, 5, 10, 100, whatever it might be. Do you love to speak? That's an indicator that maybe God has given you that gift to use it to share your testimony about how he delivered you. Part of the greater purpose of advancing his kingdom. Maybe when you find volunteers lacking here or in the kitchen or maybe at your church, are you willing to fill a spot and help solve that challenge of a lack of volunteers? Perhaps your purpose is acts of service in the body of Christ. So when the call goes out and we're lacking volunteers and you get excited about it, do you respond? Will you respond and help solve that challenge? Maybe your calling is to acts of service within the body of Christ, to be the hands and the feet of Jesus. Maybe setting up chairs, taking chairs down, if they would allow you. I'm not sure how it works exactly, but maybe to help out in the cafeteria or in the kitchen, something. These are questions you just have to ask yourself. Step out of the boat, friends. Step out of the boat. Do it afraid. But I'm afraid if I open my mouth and I start sharing my testimony, you might think, I might stumble over my words. Well, stumble over your words and continue talking. Don't fear the rejection of men. God is with you. Step out of the boat with faith in God. God is with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Remember this. Your purpose is not a destination, but it's a daily practice. Your purpose in life that God has given for you is not a destination. Your purpose in life is a daily practice. It's a daily journey. It's a daily journey. It's something you do every day. Step out of the boat. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of sinking. Don't be afraid of what people think of you. Don't fear rejection. God is with you. Amen? Is that making sense here tonight? You've got one life to live. How will you live it? Will you live it with God's purpose for you? Remember, tomorrow is not guaranteed us. Tomorrow is not guaranteed us. The next week is not guaranteed us. If you were to be taken into eternity in the next week, will it be said of you that he was walking in God's purpose for his life? She was walking in God's purpose for her life. You know, when I get to heaven one day, I want to hear God say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." It's the greatest reward. How about you? All right? You have one life to live. How will you live it? None of us knows when our last day on this earth will be. But when that last day for you comes, will it be said of you that you were walking out God's specific purpose and plan for your life? None of us is without purpose. God has got a purpose for the days of our lives. He had a purpose for the days of your life before the days of your life began on this earth, before you were delivered from your mother's womb. Let it sink in. If you remember nothing else tonight, remember, God created you on purpose for a purpose. God created you intentionally to do something special within his kingdom. And, you know, our little boy, I put him to bed at night. We read him a Bible story just about every night and try to put the scripture into him just about every single night. And every single night I pray over him, and I pray over him, I say, "In Jesus' name, God, I thank you that you've got a plan and a purpose for Asher's life. You're going to do something great with his life in Jesus' name." And I believe it with all my heart. I pray it over him and I pray it over you. God, I thank you that you've got a wonderful plan and purpose for every single person sitting in this place tonight. And God, I thank you that starting tonight, they're going to talk with you and they're going to start walking out the thing that you had planned for them while they were still in their mother's womb. In Jesus' name, amen. So remember, try to remember these questions. What activities make you lose track of time? When do you feel the most alive? What problems do you love solving? What breaks your heart about the world? And as you were listening tonight, you know, it all starts with faith in Jesus. Maybe there's some out there that have never accepted Christ even once as Savior. Tonight you can do it. Raise your hands. If you've never accepted Jesus even once, tonight you can do it. If God is whispering to you by His Holy Spirit, don't reject His voice. Listen to His voice. If you've never accepted Jesus, but tonight you want to do it for the first time, raise your hand. Anybody in the room? Okay. Anybody? All right. Maybe you accepted Jesus, but maybe you got upset with God. You got upset with somebody. You've slipped away. But tonight you want to recommit your life to Christ. You know, finding God's purpose for your life begins with faith in Christ or recommitting your life to Jesus Christ. So, if you followed Jesus at one time, but you slipped away, and God is whispering to you by the Holy Spirit, hear His voice. Yield to the voice of God's Spirit. So if you want to re-give your life to Jesus, raise your hands. Anybody in the room tonight? Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. All right, I see those hands. Stand up. Stand up. Doesn't matter what somebody behind you, in front of you, to the side of you is thinking. In the next 5 minutes, they'll forget. If anybody else wants to follow their lead, raise your hands. Remember, the next week is not guaranteed, you sir, stand up. But really, not even the next hour is guaranteed any of us. We could slip into eternity at any point. Anybody else? Anybody else want to follow their lead? Anybody else? All right. Those standing up, come forward tonight. Anybody else want to follow their lead? Ma'am, you want to come forward? And sir, come on forward. The angels in heaven are rejoicing right now. Anybody else want to follow their lead? Come to the altar. You can just line up right here. Anybody else? If God is whispering to you by the Holy Spirit, heed to His voice. Don't fear what somebody else thinks. All right. Repeat this prayer standing up. Say, Dear Jesus, I thank you that you died upon the cross for my sins. I followed you at one time, but I've slipped away. I've said and done some bad things. But tonight, you can repeat the prayer. Tonight, I say that I'm sorry. I change my mind from going my way to going your way only. Again, be my Savior and my Lord, the one in full charge of every part of my life. And God, I thank you that when I leave this earth, I'll be in heaven with you forever. Jesus, I love you. Give me the strength to follow you the rest of my days on this earth. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, give him a hand tonight. You can be seated. You can be seated. And those who recommitted your lives to Christ tonight, there's certain things you can do to remain close to Christ. Get into the Word of God. Go to church services. Pray to God, right? Find good, solid Christian friends. May God richly bless you. And I pray that tonight you start discovering the special reason, the special purpose God has for you within the bigger purpose of the expansion of His kingdom. He's got something for you. He's got something for everybody who is called upon the name of Jesus. Something for them to do. Amen? Amen. All right, Brother Greg, you want to come forward?
Amen. Thank you, Jonathan. You appreciate that.
Yeah.
From time to time, Jonathan normally comes on Sundays.
Yeah.
For the month. I'm not typically not. I But did you know that Jonathan has been preaching to a John 3:16 chapel for 17 years?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's pretty remarkable when someone makes that kind of a commitment. And man, I thank the Lord for Jonathan and his messages every month. And so, man, find your purpose that God has for you, okay?
We'll dismiss our ladies at this time. Ladies, commit a sin and the rest.